Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
I believe strongly the Lord wants to do something unique and different in this church today. I don't know exactly what. I have expectations. I would like to see certain things happen. And I believe at the altar time today, and I just decree and declare what I believe is supposed to take place, that there will be a baptism of fire here at the altar for those who have the faith to receive this grace of God. I don't know exactly how that's going to manifest in your life. That's none of my business. But I declare today is a day of freedom, not only freedom for our country, but a day of freedom for you. Our country was birthed as a revolution. And so I declare today that God does things through a revolution. And a revolution comes through a revelation. And once you have the revelation of Jesus who came to set us free from the bondage of religion and the bondage of the law of sin and death, this revelation turns into a revolution. And God wants a revolution to begin today in this place here in your life. And he wants his word to be confirmed with miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Believers will lay hands on the sick. They will recover. There is no doubt about that whatsoever. Healing will take place here in this spot today. Some will be manifested. Some may not be manifested. And you have to take it by faith. But healing and signs and wonders will be manifest here today if you believe and if you'll receive. So I take that to you to say, walk it out now and let God have his way with you today. Today I want to talk to you about a revolution. This is the message the Lord laid on my heart. I had another message actually that I was preparing about America and the history and the founding and all of that thing. And I really struggled with that. And so when I start to struggle, I know that's not what God wants me to do. He wants me to go back, and that's what I did, and begin to review the last several weeks what God has been speaking to my heart about, and then let him create the message he wants to speak through me to you, and that's what I've done. Amen. The message title, and you ought to, by the way, BYPAP, bring your own paper and pen, okay? And write some things down, because your memory's not that great. You ought to write some things down and go back and talk to the Lord about it later on. We'll talk to you about this revolution, the idea of a revolution. The definition of a revolution is it's a movement. Often it's violent to overthrow an old regime, a complete and radical change in the fundamental institutions of society, a change that affects everything. And usually there is blood as a result of a revolution. America was birthed out of an idea of a revolution. We don't know exactly. The founding fathers, of course, had a part in this, but somebody had been given an idea that America, that there should be an America, there should be a revolution, that we should not be colonies under the rule of a tyrant king of England. And part of their complaint was, we have taxation without representation. They revolted against that. But the whole idea of freedom and freedom of worship, and it transpired through all over the things. As a result of that, in 1776, July 4th, the Declaration of Independence was declared. And the men who signed the Declaration of Independence realized that they were signing a death warrant to themselves. They would be accused of treason. They put their names, they put their lives on the line by signing this document that would be delivered to the king. It was a declaration that came out of a revelation. When you have a revelation from God, then there needs to be a time where you take a stand for that and you speak the revelation as a declaration. And as a result of that, you're going to have a fight. You may have to fight the good fight of faith. You may have to have a fight to believe for your healing. You may have to have a fight to believe for freedom or demolishing of strongholds in your life spiritually. But after you make a declaration, You take a stand. This is what God's revealed to me. Then you're going to have a fight on your hands. And so may I say to you, without condemning anybody here, if you're not experiencing any opposition from the enemy, then you're going the same direction he is. You need to take a stand. Well, what God's revealed to you about your life or where you're going or the direction you're moving, you need to take a bold stand and then make a declaration. And then a revolution takes place. Often bloody. There's a price to be paid. And the world has seen many revolutions. Not only the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution. There's been revolutions all over the world. But nothing like the revolution that came by one man, that as a result of him shedding his blood, he separated and divided the calendar between B.C. and A.D. Amen. It was a revolution. Jesus was a revolutionary. He brought a revolution that's still taking place today. He made it clear. He stood boldly and made the declarations of God and of what God sent him to do and who he was. And then there was a fight on his hands. And anyone who would follow after him began to realize that when you receive Jesus in your life, yes, you receive peace and tranquility as a result of making peace with God, but then you're in for a fight while you're in this world. Everything in this world comes against what you believe. You're a fish that's swimming upstream. You have opposition. There's no such thing as unopposed opposition of the faith. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have oppression of the enemy. You're going to have resistance from the enemy. And Jesus came with a purpose to take over. He brought a kingdom in this world that's not of this world, that's totally contrary to the things of this world. And so we have a revolution of a spiritual kind that the Lord Jesus wants us to understand. And the revolution that has happened in my life and since April, and I share with you what God is sharing with me, is I understand that God wants to take over. He doesn't want just a small portion of my life. He doesn't want, Christianity has unfortunately been defined by the world as people who believe in a God and then try to live according to his standards. That's not Christianity. The Christian life is not something you can live on your own. It's supernatural. You've got to have God living his life in you and through you. And you can't have two kings. One king's got to step down. I'm talking about you. If you want Jesus to be the king of your life, you have to step down. And you're learning this all the days of your life. And the question that the Lord has brought to our attention and brought to the forefront of our mind, which is this revolution that has begun, is the question that we all need to answer today. And the question is the Lord asking you, will you let me lead you? Will you? He'll not force his kingdom upon anybody. You can't force anybody to get saved. You can't force anybody to receive Jesus. The question is, will you? Will you let me lead you? And that means, will you stop making your own decisions? Which sounds like a ridiculous statement. Will you stop making your own decisions? If you let him lead you, you're going to have to stop making your own decisions. You think you know what's best for you, but you really don't. And we have all kinds of examples from the beginning of civilization. Adam and Eve, they were in the garden. God met with them daily in the garden and talked with them, instructed them, and taught them how they were to live, what plants that they could eat of and what they were to do with and how they could make things. He taught them and he allowed Adam to name all the animals. And think of the incredible intelligence Adam had without a computer, without a pad of paper or pen. And he remembered all the names of all the animals. Adam was brilliant in his IQ before the fall of man. He had an incredible mind. And yet he needed to meet with God daily to get instructions from God on how to live. And God and Adam and Eve, they enjoyed that kind of fellowship. They learned to let God lead. They learned to receive instructions from God. They learned that we need to depend upon God. Fast forward a few thousand years and we meet the man called Abraham, who is the father of our faith. And we learn through Abraham that God expects us to have faith in him. God expects us to listen to him, follow his instructions, and trust him and exercise faith. And so we learn from the life of Abraham, you better learn to fear God, trust God, wait on God, and let go and let God have his way with your life. You better learn how to do those things. Four vital things you've got to learn. And so Abraham learned that when you try to hurry up the promises of God, you get in trouble. Can I have an amen from anybody who's done the same thing? You've got to learn to trust God and wait on God. And you've got to learn to let go of some things and let God have his way with you. Then there was a man thousands of years later by the name of David. He became the king of Israel. But yet, even as a king, one who makes decisions, one who gives his country directions, he learned and he penned with his own hand under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit how important it is to not make your own decisions by yourself. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Even David, who was a king, realized he's a sheep who needs a shepherd. He realized, I've got to have somebody else in charge of my life, because if I don't, I'll make a terrible mistake. I'll make a blunder of my life. I'll go the wrong direction. I think I know what's best for me, but I really don't know what's best for me. There's a God who has plans for my life. There's a God who has purposes for my life. And said, and exactly, God said that in Jeremiah 29:11. God said, I know the plans. I have plans for you. They're plans for good, not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You're going to have to learn to trust me. You're going to have to learn to follow me. You're going to have to learn to listen to me. You're going to have to learn to wait on me. There are some things you're going to have to learn to let go of and let God have. I know these plans. You don't know them. I'll reveal a little bit here, a little bit there, but you're going to have to trust me. And this is how this revolution begins to work. So I wrote down yesterday, actually, this message came to me yesterday. I wrote down four things that are absolutely vital if you're going to let God lead your life. Four things. The first thing is you're going to have to be one who is fearing God. Fearing God. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Trusting God, waiting upon God, and then letting go. And letting God. Four things if you want God really to lead your life and you find the plans that he has for you. First of all, fearing God. Fearing God is not being terrorized of God, but it is an awesome respect of God that you realize he is God and you are not. Amen. That there is a God who sees everything you do, who knows every thought you think. Even before you say a word on your lips, he already knows it. This is an awesome God that should put the fear of reverence and respect in our hearts to know who we're dealing with. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, but we're not smart enough to do this thing called life on our own. We need a shepherd. That's what he said. He made it clear. So when we understand what the fear of the Lord is, we got to understand, what does it look like when I fear the Lord? Jesus interpreted the fear of the Lord as worshiping God, worshiping him. And worship is not just in church raising your hands and singing songs. Worship is when you do this. with your life, not just physically, but it's when you do this. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are God, I am not. You understand all things, I don't understand things. You are unlimited, I am limited. I can't do anything right without you, God. And so who is the person who actually fears the Lord? Psalm 25 asks that question. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Then it says, he, meaning God. God will instruct and teach this one who fears the Lord the way he should choose. Because I don't know which way I'm supposed to go with decisions in my life. I think I do. There's a way that appears right unto to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I need guidance with my life. I need help in making decisions. God has plans for my life. And God, it says, he will teach him in the way he should choose. The counsel of the Lord is with those who fear him. How many of you want the counsel of the Lord today? You want God to counsel you? You want God to give you direction? You want God to give you leadership and guidance? He says, this is where you begin. The book of Proverbs says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Then it goes on to say, it's the beginning of understanding. It's the grade school. It's the entry level. It's where you start with God by submitting yourself to him and realizing that he is God Almighty. And I only know about God the things he has revealed to me. There's a lot of things I don't know. And so we begin this journey called a revolution life by fearing God. Let me ask you a question. Do you fear God? I can't tell by looking at you. But I bet I could tell after we walked around for a little while and I could study your life. I bet I could see whether or not you really fear God. There's a lot of lawmakers in our country, in Congress, who do not fear the Lord. How do you know? Because of the laws and the legislation they make that go totally contrary to the Word of God. Totally contrary. Let me tell you, the people who vote and agree with that kind of law that goes against the Lord, whether it's same-sex marriage or abortion and all of those things, that's totally contrary to the Word of God. You don't fear God. You don't fear God. If you can make laws and just come up with these things and without consulting God and talking to him about, what do you say about this, God? There's no fear of God. So do you fear the Lord? It's not do they fear, but do you? There's a lot of people that wish I would become more political in the pulpit and talk about politics every week and tell people how they should vote and the things that are going on in the country. Man, that'd consume my whole life. Are you kidding me? There's 24/7 news now that does that. And you expect me as a pastor to come in here and be leading you politically and let's do this and let's do that and let's make sure we sign this petition and we do. Man, we'd never take care of the business of the Lord. There's a lot of people that wish I'd be a lot more political. But I don't answer to you. I have to answer to God. Amen. You know what I think the real issue is? It's not politics is not the answer. It's not the answer. Unless people's hearts are changed. Unless they have an encounter with God. Unless they can hear God. And know what God is telling them to do. There's no, voting is not going to change a thing. Amen. Yes, vote. But our mission is to get people to listen to God, to hear God. God's got something to say about every one of these matters. Amen. If we'll listen, do what he says. So we got to get the fear of the Lord back in the church. Do you fear the Lord? Do you greatly reverence him? Are you concerned about his opinion about matters in your own life? We want to govern the country, but we need to start with governing ourselves. So the fear of the Lord is where we begin. So I believe that we are here to make disciples that fear God and let God lead us. If we had a nation of people, if we had a Congress that had the fear of the Lord in them, and they would let God lead them, they would pray, they'd get on their knees, they'd seek God. What do you want us to do? How do you want us to vote? What laws do you want us to do? This whole country would change overnight. Amen. But that ain't going to happen until somebody starts a revolution. It's not them. It's us. Amen. It's me. There needs to be a revolution. It starts right here. To change the way I think. For me to seek what God has to say about matters. To let God lead my life. So that's where the fear of the Lord begins. So how do you know if you have the fear of the Lord? I'm so glad you asked that question. Here's an acrostic for you. You need some ALO. Some ALO. A-L-O-E. If you fear the Lord, this is what you'll do. Get a little pad of paper. Get alone with God. The Bible says get in your prayer closet and shut the door. And that means turn off the distraction. Turn off the phone. Turn off the TV. Tell everybody to leave you alone that right now you have an appointment with God. For the next 15 minutes, 30 minutes, hour, however long you decide, you're going to be alone with God. You have a pad and a paper. Bring your Bible. Ask God one question. Not all your questions. Start with one question. One thing at a time. Ask God one question and see if He wants to talk to you about that. And if He doesn't want to say anything to you about that question you have, why don't you ask God for a question that He wants you to ask Him? I double dog dare you. I'm telling you. God's got something to say to you. And those of you who say, I don't hear God, there's a reason. You got to shut out the distractions for one. Amen. You got to be born again of the Spirit of God to be able to hear Him on the inner man. Amen. But if you'll get along with God and you ask Him some questions that He wants to ask you, He'll talk to you.
Yes, He will.
It's so simple. Anybody. You don't have to be smart. You don't even have to be able to read and write. Get alone with God and ask Him one question. I dare you. How many of you will do this? Will you raise your hand and be honest? See? Okay. You'll be the ones that hear God if you'll do it. The rest of you, I'm sorry, you won't. You won't. One question, get a pad of paper and write down quickly the first thoughts that come to your mind, and keep writing until the thoughts stop. You say, well, is that God or is that me? Yes. God using your thoughts. Talk to you. He'll do it. Listen, L, to anything He tells you. And one of the ways you'll know God's talking to you is this thought was not anything you were thinking of. Write down anything He tells you. Any thought, any impression, write it down. Quickly obey. Quickly. This is vital. Are you listening?
Amen.
Say it with me. Quickly obey.
Quickly obey.
Quickly obey. When He tells you to do something, at first you may feel a little uncomfortable. He may go apologize to this person. Go make this thing right. Go give this money. Go do this. Go do it quickly.
Amen.
Quickly. You say, what if I was wrong? Well, you'll learn. Okay, and then last, evaluate. Go back later on and say, wow, did I really hear from God as a result of obeying what He told me to do? And most of you are going to come back absolutely shocked. God actually told me to go get a building permit. God actually told me to slow down. God actually told me to go apologize. God actually told me, and I did it, and I was amazed. God is in the details. I said to you that this morning in this prophetic word. God is in the details. And the details are sometimes so detailed you don't think he's in those insignificant details. He's in the details. So are you fearing God? That's one way to find out. Allah. You had something you wanted to say earlier. Okay. All right. Second thing quickly, trusting God. If God's going to lead us, if there's going to be this revolution that Jesus came to bring in our lives, not only are we going to have to fear God and take time for him and honor him and respect him and seek him, but we're going to have to trust him. He said that we could trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And if we would acknowledge him in all of our ways, he would direct our path. How many of you here believe that? How many of you have experienced it? If you acknowledge God in all your ways, God, we want your will to be done here. God, you lead us and guide us. If you're acknowledging God, not in your thoughts, but in your mouth and your talk, acknowledge God in all your ways, he'll direct your path. Amen. Amen. Trusting God. Number three, waiting upon God. This is where a lot of people get off the rails, waiting for God. I don't like to wait. But waiting is part of our growing in the Lord. Waiting is part of how we actually are showing that we fear God. Instead of running ahead and doing our own thing, we wait upon the Lord to lead us. We're trusting God's going to show us the way. We don't run ahead and do our own thing. We have to learn to wait upon God. It's interesting, 154 times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, the subject of waiting upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. So God has a plan. He has an agenda. When things aren't going the way you think, don't rush in there and take control. Let God lead. Wait upon the Lord. If he wants you to do something, he can communicate that to you. Are you with me? 154 times. Abraham had to wait 25 years for the promise of a son. 25 years. Of course, he wasn't perfect in that. Ishmael came as a result of him thinking that he needed to help God, and maybe God expects me to do something. And he went ahead of God, and of course then we have Ishmael. If we get ahead of God, we're going to create an Ishmael. That's not God's plan. It's interesting. To me, I think the subject of waiting on the Lord wears you down. But it doesn't. God thinks differently than we think. When he's having us wait, there may be a lot of reasons. There's other people involved. There's other situations that need to happen. There's other things that need to go on that we're waiting for this answer. We're waiting for this manifestation. And we don't know why it hasn't happened yet. It's okay. But as we're waiting on the Lord, we're actually trusting God. As we're waiting on the Lord, we're acknowledging God. I'm too afraid to jump ahead, God. I've got to be in your timing, in your way. Actually, when we're waiting on the Lord, we're actually getting stronger spiritually. Amen. That's what God says. You know the scripture in Isaiah 40? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. Amen. So waiting upon the Lord, God says, will actually strengthen you, not weaken you. So God has us wait for things. We don't know why. But we, out of fear of the Lord, and because we trust the Lord, we wait upon the Lord. It's part of our walk with God. Part of letting God lead us is learning to wait upon God. Amen. I had this picture in my mind that I thought an eagle... When an eagle's, if waiting, that would mean there are a bunch of eagles and they're just sitting up here, you know, on a limb, just sitting up here waiting. But when you look at what God says, no, the eagle's not sitting there on a limb waiting. He's flying. And so actually when eagles are waiting, they're flying in circles. Well, they're not making any progress if you're flying in a circle. Oh, no, don't think that. They're flying in a circle. In fact, they go real high. The longer they're up there, they catch these updrafts. And they get to the point where they don't even have to flap their wings. All they got to do is hold them out. And there, it takes less. It takes less energy. The higher they go, they wait upon the Lord. And God is likening our waiting upon the Lord, the times when we don't run ahead and do something, we don't make a decision, when He puts divine delays in our life, when things don't work out right now like it was supposed to, when the vacation didn't go like you planned, and you have to wait or you have to make changes and you have to do things. You got to do like this. It's all right. It's all right. It's okay, God. You know what's going on. I don't see everything you see, God. You see everything. I don't see everything. It's okay, God. I trust you. And when you're doing this, this is meditation. It's going back. What's the last thing I heard God say to me? What's the last word I know for sure God gave me? What's the last thing I can positively take a stand and say, I know God said this to me? What's that last scripture I know God gave me? Whatever it is, I take it and I murmur it to myself. I speak it to myself. I'm talking to myself. Yes, talking to yourself is healthy. Did you know that? It's very spiritual. Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you'll make melody in your heart to the Lord. You'll create songs that nobody else has ever heard before. It'll just come out of you. It's a melody because you're free, see, and you'll speak these things. And this morning, as I heard Michelle begin to sing a little bit, and I heard a melody, I could hear a sound that I've heard before out of another song, but I took it and lifted it out of that, and I put it over here, and I just took the courage enough to say, okay, I'm going to go with it, God. I hear the voice of the Lord calling. I hear the voice of the Lord calling. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Woo! I hear the voice of the Lord calling. Oh, yeah. I hear the voice of the Lord calling. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Well, what does that accomplish, Pastor? I have no idea. That's none of my business. I'm just doing what you said to me, Lord. I'm just flying around, Lord. All by myself, but I'm just flying around, Lord. And you flow. There's no striving. It's easy. It just comes out. You don't care what people think. You don't pass that. And you flow. And you murmur. And sometimes you got to wait on God. You got to murmur these things He's told me. I go back over it. I review it. I say it again, the promises you gave me, God, these go-to verses that I have in my life, now sometimes that's all I got. Because I don't know how this is going to turn out, God. I don't know what this is going to look like. I just know you've given me some promises, but I don't understand what it's going to exactly look like. I know what I would like it to look like. So I meditate, I wait. Some of you are in a waiting pattern right now. I don't know what to do next, God. I don't know. Well, good. Wait. Don't jump ahead. Amen. Don't create an Ishmael. Amen. Wait on the Lord is a good thing to do. If you fear God, you'll wait on Him. Amen. You'll trust Him. My go-to scriptures. You got your go-to scriptures. Isaiah 30, verse 15 is one for me. It won't be on the screen. And repentance and rest is your salvation. That's for me. Gary, and changing the way you think and getting back to the place of rest, of trusting God, waiting on God, is your salvation. In quietness and confidence, that's where your strength lies. Yes, Lord, I go back and I just meditate. That's what you told me. I know you told me this. Another go-to scripture. Be still. And know I'm God. That's a go-to for me. I have to go back and I have to circle and circle and circle. I ask God questions. And much of the time, the questions, if I'm asking the questions He wants the answer, He answers me. God, why do I have to be still to know you? And then one day, while I was just circling with that verse, He said, because my voice is still. Your voice and every other voice has vibrations that come out. But my voice just is. My voice is still. So you've got to be still to hear my still. Where did I get that? While I was flying around. And y'all wondering, what in the world is that fool doing? I'm just circling. I'm just here with God. Another one of my go-to verses, Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You can't get it from a counselor. You can't get it from a pill bottle. You can't get it from alcohol. You got to get it from Him. I know that. But many times I run past it. Then I got to come back and just wait on God for a while. I'm telling you, when you do these three things that I've showed you so far, a revolution takes place in your life. Your whole life will begin to change. Not overnight. It's little by little. The people who know you best are going to see you in a little while and say, you're not the same, Richard, as you used to be. You used to always get all worked up about this and that. Now I don't see you getting worked up anymore. I didn't mean you particularly, Richard. I just saw you there. So when those things begin to happen, and then finally it brings us to the place where God has wanted us to be free once and for all. So first of all, this revolution to take place in your life, you got to fear God. Do you really fear God? Number two, you got to trust God. Number three, you got to wait on God. But number four, this is where you start to fly. You let go. And you let God. You handle it, God. I'm not going to try to control this anymore. I like to control things. I confess it. I like to control things because I don't feel safe in my life when things out here aren't acting out or doing like I think they should go. So I like to control things. Is there anybody here besides me that has an issue with control? I like to control things. I want it to work out like I think it ought to go. The worship service ought to go this way. The altar call ought to go this way. You ought to do this with your life. You ought to do that with your life. And I like to control things. And God wants me to let go of control, not responsibility, but let go of control. I was trying to control this message the other day or throughout the week. And I was wrestling with God and wrestling with God and wrestling with God. I said, God, come on. You know I got to have a message for Sunday unless you got something else you want to do. And I confess I had to get to a point yesterday that I'm down to the wire. It's like, okay, I let go of control. What do you want to do? What a novel idea. And then, boom, 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 puts it all in place. It says, I want you to teach people what I'm teaching you. That's all right. teach them about letting go and letting God. I haven't perfected that. I haven't perfected any of this. But that's the process of a revolution taking place in our lives. Letting go and letting God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 12, God reveals to us where we haven't let go. We have issues with control. And we don't realize, we don't call rebellion what God calls rebellion. We soften it up. But God says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, those who take counsel but not from me. They make an alliance but not of my spirit in order to add sin upon sin." Everybody say sin upon sin. "They walk down into Egypt," which is the ways of the world, "and they have not asked of my mouth." They've lost the fear of the Lord. They're not trusting in God. They're not waiting on God. And they're not letting go of control. They're running their own lives. It's a self-directed life. And the world will tell them, that's what you got to do, man. Take charge of your life. Take responsibility. Do it. You got to run your life and reach your goals and your dreams and your ambitions. No. God says you got to come to Him because He'll reveal the plans He has for you that may not be anything like your plans. And you're never going to know what the plans that God has for your life until you come to Him and you humble yourself and you fear the Lord and you're trusting in the Lord and you're waiting upon God, and then you'll learn to let go. Amen. That's a process. Our friend Mike Atkins, who's been a preacher, he's preached here before, wonderful, he and Patty, wonderful people of God. I'll never forget one message that he preached that spoke to my heart. He defined sin in a way that I'd never heard before. He said, sin actually is this. It's a self-inspired narrative. He said, it's like this. Anybody got a pen? Thank you. He says, God, who created you, birthed you on a certain day, and He's given you a certain number of hours and years to live, and knows the date of your death. God Himself took His pen, and He wrote down all the things He plans He had for your life. From your birth until your death. There are places to go. There are people to meet. There are experiences to have. There's encounters. There's fruitfulness. There'll be people saved as a result of you. There's ministry. He's written down a whole book. God took the pen and He wrote it. And sin is nothing more than coming up and saying to God, God, give me that pen. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's best for me. I know what's best for me. Now, I got the pen, and I'm going to write the story the way I think it needs to go. I need to be doing this. I need to be this. These are my goals. These are my ambitions. These are my dreams. And we take the pen from God. That's what sin is, in essence. I know better. I know better, God. If you're not going to do something, I'm going to do something. Give me that pen. And we start writing our own story. Now, it may not be so bold and brash as that. It may be more subtle, but still it's the same idea. Amen. And I was reminded yesterday of a scripture, Hebrews 12:2, that reminds us, let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher. He's the author, not me. He is writing your story. Not me. He has a story he wants to tell with your life, your circumstances, your genetics, the way you were raised, your dysfunctions, your addictions, all your problems. He's got a story he wants to tell with your face on the cover, but it's authored by God. He needs to write the story, and only he can write the story. And he's really good at writing last chapters, by the way, mystery style. So he's really good at this, and he is the author.
Yes.
But he's also your finisher. Unless you snatch the pen. And he'll step back and say, okay, go ahead. Go right ahead. Write your story. So I say all this today to tell you, this is the revolution. Yeah, America was birthed by a revolution. And we've had several revolutions. Not only the American Revolution and then the Declaration of Independence in 1776. The Civil War was a revolution within our own country. States' rights and freedom of slavery and all of this stuff. This was a revolution. It was bloody. Don't ever tell an American citizen that freedom is free. It cost blood.
Yes, it did. Lots of.
For you and I to be able to sit here today. And don't ever tell God the Father that freedom is free. It cost the blood of His only Son. He started a revolution 2,000 years ago. Still happening. If we answer the question when God asks, will you let me lead you? If you will, if you'll get alone with God, if you'll ask the questions that He tells you to ask Him, you're going to see some significant change in a short amount of time. But you got to stop making your own decisions without going to Him. Asking Him, what do you want to do? How do you want me to spend this money? What do you want me to do with this? I mean, details. Nice pen.
I don't want the pen.
Thanks. I meant to have a box of pens here. I felt like in my mind's eye, if we had a box of pens up here, that you could do a prophetic act. You could come up here, you could take the pen, and then you could come over here to the altar and lay it down and say, God, You're the author and the finisher of my story. You finish this however you want. Just teach me how to fear You, how to trust You, how to wait upon You, and how to let go. Now that's Yours. I expect some leading. Thank You. And walk away. Everybody got a pen with you? If you got a pen, I suggest you just do that. If they're really nice ballpoint pens, you could leave them up here for me afterwards. But no, I'm just teasing. Just as an act, a prophetic act. Grab your pen. Put it down as if to say to God, You write my story. I will let You lead from this day on. Then mark down the date, July 4th, 2021. The revolution has begun. God's ready. He's ready. And anybody, who's willing can have this same revolution.
All right.
But He'll never force you.
There we go.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, spread them out,
thank
brother.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So now you don't have an excuse. Yep. You say, that's a silly thing to do, Pastor. I know. It's all right. Yep. But somebody's life will change as a result of this. Altar workers, if you'll come up and join me. I believe today is a day of healing. If you want to just receive your healing by faith today, you could do it. These people that come up here at this altar, I know them. I've asked them to come and join me and pray for people because I believe they have experience with God. Many of them have had miraculous healings, like Brenda right over there, who was paralyzed. Paralyzed. She had a miraculous healing. I mean, if you need healing in your body, you want people that have had miraculous healing. And I've asked these people to come up because I know they have the love of God full in them, the compassion of God. And there ain't anything you could tell them that would shock them. And sometimes we need to pray with one another, confess our faults to one another. The Bible says that's how you're healed, emotionally as well as physically. Sometimes you got to confess a sin discreetly. And God says, I'll heal you. So here's the pins. Here's the altar. The message is yours. Do something with it. Do something with it. Let's all stand together. God, take the pen. Write my story. You're the finisher. Write a good finish for me. I want to finish well. If you're not born again, you need to get born again. That's the starting point. Any one of these people can help you with that. Come on. Come on. Do something. If you hear the word, you're faithful if you apply it. God blesses that. Apply it somehow. Sometimes a prophetic act is just that. I'm applying this message. Thank you, God. Now lift your hands up. May the Lord Himself, the God of peace, bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and give you peace, His peace today, His peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.